You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and at this time of the year we try to connect with the Irish community across the country, and last week we heard from Cathy Geoghegan out in Vancouver, and we were chatting with the Ambassador John Concannon the week previously, and this week we are heading to Toronto, and I'm delighted to connect with the Consul General, Janice McGann. Janice, top all to Roth, great to chat with you again, good to see you.
Hi, thanks very much, Austin, great to talk to you again.
Busy year, came to a conclusion in so many different ways, and so much was happening. Toronto is a hive of activity.
Absolutely, no, we're so lucky in Toronto. I mean, firstly, of course, with our really vibrant and diverse Irish community, and then of course, I mean, I'm biased, but I love Toronto, and there's so much going on even beyond the community. Obviously, it's such an important place within Canada. So no, it was a very busy year. I think for us, one of the highlights would have to have been the visit of the then Taoiseach Micheál Martin for St. Patrick's Day. You know, it was an amazing visit. Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto. But in Toronto, we had a fantastic program. He met with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He met with the Irish community, marched in the Irish parade, announced $2 million in Irish government funding for the Corlick project. And that brings the Irish government funding for that project up to $3 million, which is a really significant investment, along with significant funding from the Toronto and the Canadian federal authorities. And he also announced we're going to have an Ireland House in Toronto as well. So it was a fantastic visit, and I think it was a great example. I mean, I think the then Taoiseach spent about 6 days in Canada, and that's a very significant amount of time out of a minister's diary. But it really shows the importance that he and that the government places on the relationship with Canada and on our diaspora as well, our Irish community across Canada. So that was definitely one of the highlights. Before we'd even got the year started, it was one of the highlights.
I think it's important to mention that the then Taoiseach is now the current Taoiseach.
Yes, of course. He is the current Taoiseach. And it's just fantastic that we had him out last year. And I think he was very committed to the bilateral relationship with Canada in general, but it's always great when people get a chance to come out and see the reality and see, you know, the fantastic community that we have, all the things that are going on, the great relationship. And he touched all the bases, the Irish community, the Prime Minister, economic engagements with our state agencies. It was just the most fantastic visit. We were so delighted.
You mentioned the Corlick building. And the Irish community in Toronto would be aware of what that is. But the Irish community across the rest of the country may not fully appreciate what that building is and what it represents, and how important the potential that it has. So do you want to give a little summary? And I know Robert Kearns and Will would be better able to, it's their hobby horse, but I know you have your finger on that pulse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I have to make sure whatever I say passes muster with Robert and with William Pete and Eileen Costello and the rest of the board members. No, of course, the Corlick, a lot of people will be familiar with the work of the Canada Ireland Foundation, Building Ireland Park, the statues there by Ronan Gillespie commemorating people arriving from the famine in Toronto. And their latest project, which has been ongoing for a number of years, is to take a building by Billy Bishop Airport, the city airport in Toronto, right on the waterfront. And they're basically constructing a multi-use arts and culture centre in that building. They've called it the Corlick as a reference to that's the Corlick Stonehead, I think, in the National Museum. And it's going to be so exciting. The location is absolutely amazing on the waterfront. The City of Toronto have done an awful lot of redevelopment on that area. It's right beside the airport. And it's going to be an amazing space to promote Irish culture, but not just Irish culture. I mean, Toronto is so multicultural, you know yourself, that it's not just purely Irish culture. Obviously, that's going to be a focus. It's going to be about all kinds of culture and a place for people to meet and develop those relationships, focus on culture and, you know, have those conversations. It's going to be an amazing resource and asset for the Irish community, but for the city of Toronto in general. And we're so fortunate to have it. And the Irish government is delighted to have been able to support it. The great work that Robert and William and Eileen and the board have done But also, I mean, there's significant funding from the City of Toronto, as I said, and from the Canadian federal government. So it's another example of that kind of great partnership between Ireland and Canada to produce something that's going to be of enormous benefit for the Irish community, for beyond in the City of Toronto in years to come. We're so excited about it. I have not done it justice. If you had William Pete here, he'd be telling you all the, he'd be telling you all the amazing cultural programming they're going to be doing and the focus. But that's it in a nutshell. It's going to be a very significant development. And, you know, there's so many things happen. We're really in, I think, what you'd say, a really exciting phase of the relationship between Ireland and Canada. You know, we had the Global Ireland strategy, and that led to the new consulates in Vancouver and Toronto. You know, there's a brilliant state agency presence here in Canada, the Enterprise Ireland, Tourism Ireland, the IDA, you know, having physical offices here. And just after kind of all these resources and the expansion and the focus, we're just in such an exciting kind of phase. And the Corlick is an aspect of that. So, you know, it's brilliant to be in Canada working, and I think it's a brilliant time for us. You know, there's so much potential. So many good things have happened, and I think the next phase is going to be brilliant as well.
And Janice, of course, the danger always is that in an established community, you can become invisible. Whereas mm-hmm. something like this allows the visibility and the contribution that the Irish have made historically to be front and center on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's, and again, when we talk about this new phase, you look at the fact that March is Irish Heritage Month now, you know, an initiative led by James Maloney. And I think there is definitely more of a focus on the story of the Irish in Canada and the contribution that they made. And we're obviously delighted about that. And yeah, I mean, it's a very multicultural place, Canada, and I think that's amazing, and everybody should be sharing and telling their story, and we're delighted to have the opportunity to do that through things like Irish Heritage Month, through things like the Corlick, but in a way that we know that there's many stories, and we want to share all of the stories, including, of course, our own Irish story and our Irish heritage.
You mentioned the arts, and while the Corlick building will cover the visual arts, or the performing arts, I suppose, would be mm-hmm. more accurate. The visual arts are also represented, of course, in the Toronto Irish Film Festival. But not even in the Toronto Irish Film Festival. There's always usually a strong representation in the Toronto International Film Festival.
Absolutely. Yes. No, I mean, we're so fortunate when you look at the amount of artistic and cultural talent that we have in Ireland. It's incredible. It's an amazing, amazing gift that we have. And absolutely, I mean, it's you'd be so proud to see all of the films that make it in, you know, like to the festivals, to awards nominations. It's just fantastic. And it's, you know, we're obviously very keen on kind of doing as much as we can to promote Irish culture. And not just, I mean, obviously the Irish culture, all the work that's done in the Irish community in Canada to promote Irish culture, to preserve it, is amazing. And also we want to make sure that other, you know, people beyond the Irish community as well have a chance to kind of experience Irish culture. A lot of culture, maybe as well the contemporary culture that people don't immediately think of. But again, we are so fortunate to have such an amazing talent pool and quality of our culture.
So if you look back on the film festival last year, I'm sure you got to attend a few of them. Were there highlights for you?
Oh God, there were so many highlights. I have terrible memory for names of films, but there was one of the films in the International Film Festival that with Barry Keegan. In the Toronto Irish Film Festival, there was a brilliant, they showed a brilliant film called Verdigris.
Yes.
Last year, and I think they had some people over from the film, and I just thought that was the most amazing. Yeah, it was brilliant. So between the Toronto Irish Film Festival and the International Film Festival, we were definitely well served staying in Toronto with film, and it's just such a powerful art form, you know, such a way of connecting with people. It's brilliant, and we love the Toronto Irish Film Festival, and we love the International Film Festival as well, of course.
There are a lot of writers' festivals across the country as well. I know Ottawa has one, Vancouver. Roddy Doyle, I know, was over earlier, just before Christmas, on the West Coast. That aspect of the culture is catered to in Toronto as well, I take it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's the Toronto International Festival of Authors, TIFA. So there's every type of cultural offering you can imagine we have in Toronto. God, I sound like a spokesperson for Toronto. Maybe I'm in the wrong job, but no, there's so much, and we are obviously very, very keen to try to kind of promote Irish culture across all the different art forms. And I think, you know, I was talking about, we're in a new phase in our relationship, and I think it's important to kind of let people know that we're also probably in a new phase in the consulate as well in Toronto. You know, we've been in Toronto just over 2.5 years. The first 2 years were really a lot of focus on setup, and now we move in. I mean, we're not completely set up yet, but now we move into a new phase, and we're beginning to kind of diversify what we focus on, and we have so many exciting plans for next year, for the future, for cultural promotion, and it's just brilliant. And like, I'm not sure if you know that there's been a lot of movement, a lot of change in the team members, and people just might be interested. You know, last year a lot of people might have known William Barrett, our former deputy, and Kelly, who was our consular officer, and they both left. You know, I appreciate so much the work that they did, and I know that people would have appreciated the work that they did in the consulate, and I'm so grateful for their contribution. And now we have Cathal with us. He's our new deputy, with Nicola as our new consular officer. Paulina has become our new public diplomacy officer. That's a new position. So, and we have Sophie as well on the team. So we've had a lot of kind of changes, and we have more capacity now with that extra public diplomacy position, and we're really going to be looking at kind of expanding our activities, our reach, how to connect with the community. We've just set up a LinkedIn page, a Facebook page, so people can kind of see a little bit more of what we do and as we move into the next phase. But definitely focusing on culture, promoting Irish culture is a core part. But we maintain, you know, our regular activities, and probably the most important part of our work and the main part of our work is supporting Irish citizens, to be honest with you. People don't see that as much. They think about films in the Toronto Irish Film Festival or the Corlick or a ministerial visit. But, you know, I mean, we work to help administer over $500,000 Canadian dollars in immigrant support program funding to our partner organizations in the community, a super important Irish government program to support the diaspora. Where you know, we deal with such a wide variety of queries, calls through our website, emails. I mean, I think we dealt with over 2,200 queries last year. So, and of course, then there's the, you know, more serious, maybe consular cases, going to a lot of events. So we definitely we're diversifying our focus, and we've lots of new team members, but the core of our work, and I think what really drives us, is being able to provide those services to Irish citizens. So that's what remains the constant, no matter what the changes in the team. And we're so happy that we get to be in that privileged position to provide that support. And I think I have to say, Austin, as well, that we are so grateful for the support that the community gave us. You know, we wouldn't be where we are if we hadn't had such a strong support, and not just in Toronto, in you know, Ontario, places like Peterborough, you know, Winnipeg, Saskatoon, Regina, in the prairies. But we try to support the community, but they really have supported us to help us get on our feet, and we just appreciate that so much.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting William at Godrej last year,
Yes.
and it was a wonderful event. And that's under your territory as well. You mentioned there's Team Ireland, and you talked about Ireland House. What's Ireland House about? What's the focus there?
Ireland House. Well, I mean, this is, I suppose, one of those things that have come up under Global Ireland. You know, people, obviously the really high profile, a lot of the high profile things are opening new missions, like in Toronto. But there's also a move towards having an Ireland House, and that's about basically kind of grouping, you know, representatives of the Irish government presence in a country together as much as possible. So in Toronto, it'll be a home for the consulate, a permanent home, and then representatives of Ireland's trade and economic agencies. And so we'd all be under one roof, basically. And when you kind of look, the Global Ireland, it wasn't just about opening new missions, it's about increasing our presence and our effectiveness. And one of the most important things is about all the different representatives working together, and we're so lucky. We have a strong state agency presence, we have a strong now diplomatic footprint, and we work so well together already, and that's really been very effective in helping to kind of promote to further Irish interests. So it's about providing, I suppose, a physical space to be able to facilitate that work. And it's a really exciting opportunity for us, for our state agencies, to kind of intensify our engagement with our Canadian partners, whether that's at a government level or a trade or at a community level. So that's basically what the idea is. I can't give you many details, but I can tell you that we're working away on it behind the scenes. But it would just be fantastic. You know, there's Ireland Houses, for example. One has just opened in New York. They have one in San Francisco and lots of other places. And I think it would be a very strong statement about the importance that the Irish government puts on the relationship, not just at a government level, but the trading, economic support in the community. So, it's another exciting thing. We have so much exciting things. And I know you said you were talking to the new ambassador, so I won't talk too much about him. But, you know, it's brilliant. He's a very accomplished man, brilliant, brilliant set of experiences and skills. So it's great to have him with us with his vision and experience as well in this new phase.
When you mentioned trade, I know that there's a great urgency, and has been over the last number of years, to develop trade, particularly that Ireland wanted to expand into Canada, and Canada has expanded into Ireland. That, when you talk in terms of something like the concept of Ireland House, I don't want to use the word concerted effort, but I would say that what you're trying to achieve very much then is a coordinated effort to increase that bilateral relationship.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what I would say is that, you know, we, between the different parts of the government presence here, we have a great relationship, to be honest with you. We work so well together. And this is more just about providing, I suppose, the physical infrastructure to continue that work and to grow that work. Like, for example, as I said, in Toronto, we have Enterprise Ireland, Tourism Ireland and the IDA. And, you know, the fact I would have like regular coffees with you know, people from those agencies, and the fact that we can do that, it just makes life so much easier. So we work so well together already. We're so fortunate here but it's about kind of having a more physical presence to facilitate that. Like, for example, in the Ireland Houses, in, you know, I don't know if you've been, for example, to the new consulate in Vancouver, you know, it's not just about having people in the same space, which does facilitate things, but it's about, for example, having an event space that we can all share. So it's just about approaching things from many different levels and setting up that physical infrastructure. And as a statement, you know, a statement to Toronto and to Canada, that we take this relationship seriously, and here is this Ireland House, here is our presence and our offering. So it's there's no question, you know, we work fantastically together, and it's about being able to have the tools to intensify that.
And of course, Ontario is a powerhouse when it comes to economic influence and the ability or the potential for bilateral trade and companies in Ireland to try to get into North America, and Canadian companies looking to get into Europe. One of the other areas I know there has been a lot of focus on is bilateral educational opportunities. And earlier on, or just towards the end of last year, I had an opportunity to chat with Sheila Flanagan when she was over about building on that relationship and how important that educational relationship is also.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, with the kind of we've had educational delegations out in Toronto last year on the technological universities side. They had some events, and on the university side as well, you know. So there's a lot of activity definitely going on in the educational level, and that's really it's so important for many reasons. I mean, now, and I mean, I'm not an academic expert, but I do know that as the world is more globalized and interconnected, having you know, having kind of universities, academic institutions that are globalized and plugged in to that international scene is so important. And then it gives a brilliant experience for people to be able to study in other countries, to learn about other cultures. And it really, you know, when we talk about people-to-people links, which are the basis of our bilateral relationship between Ireland and Canada, those links are, there's so many different aspects. It's about tourists going to Ireland, it's about people doing business, but it's also about people studying in different countries. And the impact that that makes is just incredible. So it's such an important sector. The, you know, the kind of the universities and the third level institutions are doing fantastic work over here, and we are very happy to support in any way that we can. And I should say, of course, that Enterprise Ireland also give a huge amount of support. They probably, you know, they lead in that area. So it's very important, and we're delighted at all the activity that's going on at the moment.
Over the last 12 months, Janice, was there much influx of Irish into Toronto? Were there a lot of new, have the numbers waned in any way?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting kind of as a question, because people obviously don't have to register, you know, when they come. Like, we don't have any system of registration. So we do have a rough idea of numbers, but I think there's still a lot of people coming to Toronto. Of course, you know that Vancouver is a real kind of magnet, especially for, you know, people kind of younger in university or at the start of their careers. But no, there's definitely a lot of people coming to Toronto, and you know, I suppose there's a really vibrant community at the moment in Toronto, given that there's been so many arrivals in recent years, and it's a fantastic thing. You have different levels of, not different, different types of people within the community. You know, people who came maybe decades ago, or people who have come in the last few years. So no, there's definitely still people coming. And I mean, Toronto is a very, in Canada, is a very attractive place, you know, and Irish people have always been outward looking, and, you know, there's opportunities here. And so we still have people coming, and we're delighted that they're kind of coming to the community and making sure that it's still very vibrant and growing.
And are you hearing much of people going back? And I ask that question on the basis, you know, when they talk about immigration figures in Ireland, we often hear huge numbers trotted out. But then when it's netted back and said, well, you know, there were 50,000 emigrated, but 30,000 came back or immigrated, that the net is often different. Are you seeing or hearing much of people returning to Ireland?
I mean, we do. I mean, we as I said, because you know, we're not there in Pearson.
I know.
With a list or anything, but no, I mean, there's I think constant movement back and forth. You know, if you look at the international experience work and holiday visa, a lot of people come out and a lot of people stay, would like to stay, but then a lot of people, you know, go back home. I mean, that's completely normal. People have different experiences and you know, different visions for what they'd like in their lives. So, you know, we do see movement in both directions, to be honest with you. And I think that's just normal. And we're also now, you know, immigration is much different than it was even a couple of decades ago, to be honest, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. connection by internet, with the direct flights from Toronto. So it's a different prospect than it was. And that kind of more a population that's very mobile, very connected, means that you're going to have a kind of a constant flux. A lot of people will want to stay, people will want to go back. And so that's what we see.
When you look back over the last year, sport is a big part of the Irish community in your neck of the woods. And I know Cathy out in Vancouver, the GAA are boasting how mushrooming the clubs are in Vancouver, gone from 2 to 9 in the last few years. The GAA is very vibrant and an integral part of the Irish community. It's usually the welcome mat for the new arrival.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, we have a good number of clubs out here and quite established clubs as well. And you're completely right. We're very aware of the very important role that they play. I mean, obviously, it's about, you know, it's Irish culture, promotion of Irish culture. It's giving people an opportunity to kind of maintain those links. But you're quite right. Like, a lot of people will come over and their first port of call will be their GAA club, and that's where they will build connections. And a great way, I mean, sport, community involvement is just a great way to kind of promote your well-being and to maintain that, and that's very important. So the GAA are doing amazing work over here in Toronto, and were very conscious of the importance of their role in general. And when you look at the Global Gains Development Fund, which is that fund between the GAA and the Department of Foreign Affairs, again, to provide some financial support, it's such an important instrument of support from the Irish government. And we're delighted that that's there, and we can work with the GAA clubs and help them to try to access some of that funding.
And looking forward to the year that's coming up, you mentioned, of course, March now is Irish Heritage Month. You probably won't get time to catch your breath.
No, probably not. Just as well we're talking now, Austin, because we're going to be incommunicado until April. Of course, we have March and St. Patrick's Day on our mind, and there are so many events that are going on, and it's just brilliant to see the amount of effort, a lot of it voluntary effort from community organisations that they put into events around St. Patrick's Day. Of course, we have the parade here, which is really beloved, not just within the Irish community, but the amount of non-Irish people that say to me, oh, I love the St. Patrick's Day parade. And it is brilliant. It's a very inclusive event and we love it. But there'll be lots of stuff. And of course, I mean, obviously we just have the new government now, so decisions aren't made about travel, but we're hoping that we will have a minister again for St. Patrick's Day. So there'll be no shortage of activity going on. There'll be no shortage of work for us. And it's such a key part of our year. And it's such a brilliant opportunity for the Irish government to kind of promote Ireland and to make those links and those connections at the bilateral level.
And do you find in that period, and as you look forward to what's coming up, that it's that time also when you talk about networking, but you're going to get invited to a variety of events, because whether it be in Ottawa, the federal government, or in Toronto, the provincial government, they tend to want to be Irish at some stage during March, and they tend to want to invite you or the visiting minister. So it is very much an opportunity where the Irish get to build relationships right at the decision-making level.
Absolutely. I mean, it's exactly what I was saying. It is this amazing opportunity to build relationships, to create networks and contacts, and to promote Ireland, Irish interests more general. It's just incredible. I mean, I don't think there's very many countries that have such an amazing opportunity. And, you know, it's just brilliant. We love it. And obviously there's a lot of kind of, I suppose, hard work that goes into it. I think it's important to say that, you know, it's a kind of, we really work hard to make the most of it and to deliver. And it's just a joy to be able to take part in, really, to have that opportunity. But you're completely right. It is a brilliant opportunity and a time to promote Ireland, Irish interests, to make those connections.
Are there any major events that you can talk about, or you know that maybe, I know Collision was something that had an Irish finger in the pie, and I think it's probably back in Toronto again this year.
There's all kinds of stuff going on this year. I mean, you know, there's, like, for example, I know that the Ireland Funds Canada will have their lunch, for example. I know there'll be the parades I talked about. If we have a minister, we will have a lot of engagements and meetings, and there'll be a very busy program. I mean, one thing that people might be interested in, and this is something that will be happening across Canada, so I'll move away from the Toronto specific focus, but yeah, I'm sure you know that River Dance is mm-hmm. coming to Canada mm-hmm. this year for... It's his 30th anniversary. So that's going to be a major tour in Canada, right across in our region. We left Toronto, Winnipeg, Regina and Saskatoon. But I know they're going to like Vancouver and other places over on the west. And that's going to be something that's really, really big. Again, a huge opportunity to promote Ireland and for people to access Irish culture, whether they're Irish or whether they're not Irish. There's an awful lot of things, and sorry, I can't talk about all of them.
I know.
There's plenty of exciting things going on, and in general, you know, especially when it comes to St. Patrick's Day, so there are so many community events that happen. And we're hoping we try and attend as many as we can. Unfortunately, there's just two of us, but it's a great time of the year to be Irish and have these opportunities.
Dennis, I'm going to let you go because I know your time is scarce, and I do really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so much. And I know as you head into the year, you'll be looking at your agenda and realizing that, yeah, you're a full agenda as always. And hope it all goes well for you.
Thanks very much, Austin. So nice to talk to you, and we'll catch up again.